Dasa sa kapita mata kanta ganalaya vraje krita kare krishna prema vishtahaya. Absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Sri Krishna enjoys and braj with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. So this verse is explaining the four transcendental rasas that one can experience with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Goloka Vrindavan and the spiritual sky. And the fifth, as we understand, there are five primary rasas, but the fifth ras, Shanta ras, is normally left out by Lord Chaitanya, considering these four, Dasa, Sakya, parental and conjugal love, to be the primary. I think the verses before, probably whoever gave class last time spoke on Shanta Ras and the reasons why it's not considered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that these primary rasas, or these relationships that one can experience in the spiritual world with Krishna, are transcendental and ultimately a source of perfection for our life. But he explains that imperfect life is when life is spent engaging in these same rasas in a mundane fashion. So again, the analogy that Prabhupada gives, a thorn can be used. If a thorn sticks into you, then it's very painful. But that same thorn, when used to remove a thorn, is perfection, because you become freed from the material existence. So in this way, we can understand that the spiritual world is full of relationships, all of which are full of emotion and engagement for the senses, and there's loving exchanges between Krishna and his dearmost devotees. So our mission is, in one sense, to find out what that eternal relationship is for us with Krishna. Unfortunately for myself, and maybe some others, we're very confused about what our relationship is with Krishna, only thinking about what our relationship is with everyone else and how we're going to enter into those kind of relationships here in the material world. On this point, I thought it might be nice, because there is limited time, to speak a little bit about the different types of loving relationships that exist with the Lord, and to include some pastimes or insight into Srila Rupa Goswami and also Gauridas Pandit. So with your permission, I'll just read first the translation from Yayanilo Premadana, which, please forgive me, I didn't sing before class due to shortage of time and also my terrible singing. But I'd like to read the translation, because it begins to assist us in entering into the mood that one may actually have, even in the apparent material world, with others. Because sometimes we can have a false understanding of even developing loving relationships with other devotees. So this is written by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, if I'm not mistaken. And he writes, "He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to attain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees in whose association he performed his pastime, Narottam Das simply weeps. So here we have a pure devotee who is weeping at the departure of loved ones, which sometimes we may consider mundane. Sometimes I've heard, actually it wasn't so long ago, that someone departed, and I heard one devotee preaching to a person who was related with them, "Anyway, Prabhu, you know, we're not this body," and which was nice, but at that moment, that person didn't really need to hear that exact preaching strategy. Because that person was, the person that departed was also a devotee, and that person was feeling separation. And the topmost loving sentiment that has been given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the mood of separation and feeling distance from, of course, God. But at the same time, our approach to Krishna is going to be through the dear devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for us specifically. So I was thinking how sometimes we can miss the point and become almost impersonal in our dealings because we forget that everyone is an individual and we have sentiments, we have emotions, and those emotions aren't meant to be given up or renounced. They're meant to be engaged properly in Krishna's service, in loving relationships with the devotees. And if we neglect to do this, then certainly there will be some lack of fulfillment within us. And just as the Mayavadi or impersonalist merges into Brahman, but yet is dissatisfied and discontent and then again has to fall down into the material realm, in the same way, if we're not able to engage our propensities for loving relationships in this world, then we're also going to be unfulfilled and probably have to repeat things again. So here we have Narottam Das Thakur really pouring out such emotion at how he's feeling so alone and empty in this world, missing the dear devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and, of course, missing Lord Gauranga. So this is one emotional sentiment that is present in the that can be present in the material world and may seem or appear to be material, but when directed through Krishna or Krishna's devotees, is actually one of the highest spiritual sentiments. So another pastime I wanted to share was one of Goridas Pandit, who is Subal in the spiritual world, so obviously very important personality. And the pastime of how Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda visited Goridas Pandit, I think it was just before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and they were having such ecstatic kirtan and wonderful exchanges of love and devotion. And Goridas Pandit was begging Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, "Please don't go. Please stay here with me." And of course, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda not wanting to leave, but of course, having to move on, they made life-size deities, neem deities, of themselves, and installed them for Goridas Pandit, and explained that these deities, they are non-different from us. We are actually present here within these deities, so worship them with all your heart, and you'll never be separated from us. So Goridas Pandit, he served and worshipped these deities into a very ripe old age. And then there's wonderful pastime where Chaitanya Das, his servant, was organizing a Sankirtan festival. And during the Sankirtan festival, the kirtan became so ecstatic and was raging with such enthusiasm and love for Krishna and the holy name that these Gauranitai deities jumped off of the altar and began running around Goridas Pandit's yard, dancing in ecstasy in the kirtan with all of the devotees. So we can hope that one day our kirtan may also achieve such exalted levels where Shishi Gauranitai maybe even Radha and Krishna begin to dance. I've heard that some devotees have seen this happening in certain kirtans. Maybe these things are not visible for all of us, but certainly those who are on an elevated platform may see these things. I myself have not had the opportunity. But so at this point, the Gaurinitai deities were dancing around, and then Gauridas Pandit, he was in kind of a different mood because of his attachment to Gaurinitai. He didn't see the correct reaction to be having a little dance with Gaurinitai, but rather he thought their place should be back on the altar. So therefore he grabbed one stick and began chasing Gaurinitai around, telling them to get back on the altar. So here we have some different types of loving exchanges going on that you might think this is improper consciousness for someone to be chastising Gaurinitai and telling them to get back on the altar. But one who may have a certain relationship may feel inclined to have that loving exchange with the Lord. I'm reminded of how, Sanatana Goswami, Madan Mohan deity of Sanatana Goswami, and how that deity came about. And the Madan Mohan deity was being looked after by one Brahmin and his family, and Sanatana Goswami went to visit this Brahmin, and he saw that the children had the deity on the floor and were like dressing and undressing it and playing with it like a doll. And Sanatana Goswami was like, "What is this? You can't, this is the Supreme Lord. You can't let your children play with it on the floor and do all kinds of things like that." And so the Brahmin was overwhelmed and he picked it up and put it, you know, on the altar. And Sanatana Goswami went back. And that evening he had a dream, and Madan Mohan appeared to him in the dream and began to chastise him and said, "What are you doing? You've come and chastised my owner. I was having so much fun with those children. They're playing with me on the floor. And you've chastised. Now they've stuck me up here on this altar and it is offering puja to me and treating me with such awe and reverence. But that's not what I was relishing. I was relishing." So then he said, "So now you have to come and take care of me." And Sanatana Goswami was like, no, I couldn't possibly. All I'm eating is roti. And you'll want sabji and this rice dal. You'll want so many things. And I'm just simply eating some roti and you won't be happy with that." And he said, "Anyway, you come and collect me now." So again, we have a certain mood that from our maybe contaminated perspective, of course, this doesn't necessarily give us license to go home and take our deities and put it on the floor and start dressing it and playing around. But one may be developing such spiritual sentiments. So again, we find it may be difficult to assess who is advanced or who is not advanced. But these moods and emotions are there within us and they need to be directed toward the Supreme Lord. Some pastime was describing how Rupa Goswami, who's Bhajan Kutir? Who knows where his Bhajan Kutir is? Anyone knows? Anyone can picture this amazing place? Radha Damodar, that's where the Samadhi is. But his Bhajan Kutir? No. It's in between Nandagram and Varshana. Actually, it's considered Nandagram. And it's a place called Tir Kadamba. Anyone has been there to Tir Kadamba? Such an amazing, beautiful place, huh? This huge Kadamba tree, with these long branches and Bhajan Kutir right underneath. It's a very powerful, amazing place. And it's explained that Rupa Goswami was wanted to make an offering, a special offering to Sanatana Goswami. And he wanted it to be very special. And Radharani was understanding the mood of Srila Rupa Goswami, so it's explained that actually she came and appeared as a simple sort of Brajbasi girl, and brought some milk and some rice and some sugar, and offered it to Rupa Goswami, and then explained that she would make herself some nice sweet preparation. So Rupa Goswami, he was kind of in, I guess you could say, awe and reverence and amazement of what was going on, and this little Brajbasi girl made this amazing kheer, this amazing sweet rice preparation, and offered to Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And it's explained that they, well, offered it to Rupa Goswami, and then later Sanatan Goswami came, and they were honoring this kheer, this sweet rice, and Sanatan Goswami, they were experiencing ecstasy while they were tasting this, honoring this prasad, and they began to, you know, feel ecstatic symptoms. And Sanatan Goswami was saying, "This is the most amazing sweet rice I've ever tasted. Where did you get this? How did you have time to make this?" And he said, "Actually, one young Brajbasi girl, she brought it to me, and she made it herself, and she said that she wanted me to give this to you." And Sanatan Goswami became immediately angry. And he said, "This is Srimati Radharani. She has come and personally made this sweet rice, and you accepted service from her. How could you accept service from Srimati Radharani? This is totally inappropriate." And then, but they couldn't stop eating the sweet rice, so they, "It's wrong, but we're going to eat it anyway." And they continued their ecstatic symptoms. So again, you can see that the loving exchanges between the Lord and his pure devotee, again, on platforms that are beyond awe and reverence, which is this kind of shantaras. When we, during the month of Kartik, we sing the Dhammadharastakam prayers, and in that, you know, we hear that the Lord wants exchanges of love that go beyond this awe and reverence, that want these loving exchanges. So where do we find and perfect these loving exchanges? Our approach to the Lord is not one that is direct. Our approach to the Lord is through spiritual master and through his devotees. Our principal philosophy is to become the servant of the servant of the servants. And we're developing, or supposed to be developing, loving relationships amongst ourselves, and finding these perfections in connection with Krishna in these loving exchanges. So this servitorship mood is there. All of us should be in relationships where we have to serve someone, where we have to experience the dasya ras. And it's in relation to Krishna, where we're just accepting that I must listen and follow, and with awe and reverence I'm serving. Specifically, this relationship, in one sense, should be with the spiritual master, those senior devotees, or those maybe in authority, that we're just in a mood of servant. And then sakyaras, that we develop relationships with peers, which often is the most difficult, to develop relationships amongst peers, because we're busy either wanting to be the boss and be offered worship, or we're busy being the humble servant. So it's difficult to just develop these relationships on a peer group level where we can actually have nice exchanges. Recently I was watching these Krishna in Vrindavan videos. I don't know if anyone has seen them. Really amazing. Wonderful effort. And you see the relationships that Krishna and the cowherd boys have, you know, and they're like jumping on top of each other, cutting each other up, you know, stealing one another's prasad, and you know, they just speak freely and openly with one another, and they don't take offense. They don't, you know, they're not feeling like, "Oh, you should treat me with respect and awe and reverence. you know, they're just having these nice exchanges of love, playing, enjoying, relishing, and being able to express and exhibit that emotion, which is very vital. I've heard that of these three relationships, that the most important one to spend our time doing is the peer group relationship, that we should be spending predominant amounts of time in that relationship. So this is important. Dasya, Sakya, Sanskrit term for parental is Vatsalya. And this parental relationship, again, this can manifest in the relationship with a spiritual master, or actually one's own parents or senior devotees who are in that mood of spiritual mother, spiritual father, where we offer them respect, we offer them honor, and we listen and hear from them, and then they also care, or we become parents ourselves, and that experience of taking care of a child and raising it in Krishna consciousness, wanting to protect it, like Mother Yashoda would always chant so many mantras and do so many things to try to protect Krishna, who doesn't really need any protection, but her love and the gopis, senior gopis and gopas in Vrindavan, always worried and concerned when Krishna is in danger. So that feeling of anxiety and wanting to take responsibility for Krishna and Krishna's associates, Krishna's friends, this parental ras, this mood of really wanting to look after Krishna as a parent. And then, of course, the Madhurya ras or Shringara ras, which is mentioned here. Then this ras is, one sense you could say, the most difficult and probably the one that's most imitated in the material world in its perverted form, and the most binding also. But when properly utilized, one can enter into also a loving relationship with a partner in which one may also be able to understand that exchange on the purest platform. We understand that Krishna and Srimati Radharani's conjugal love is one that is very difficult or is not to be imitated by us in the material world. Again, you just need to open the newspapers and see that everyone is also imitating this rasa. One may, so many people who are considered gentlemen or people with high post and position in government or engaging in relationships with a paramour, having loving affairs with someone other than their partner. So these types of relationships are being attempted in the material world, and we can see just binding people. But proper engagement, Lord Ramchandra is setting the example of engaging in a relationship with a partner like that. So all of these relationships are available in the material world, and they're spiritual, in a spiritualized form. And we simply have to enter into these relationships and purify ourselves and make sure that they're constantly connected with Krishna. There's a couple of other things I wanted to say, but I'm aware I've already gone over time. So I'll stop here and see if anyone would like to offer any correction or question or chastisement before we finish.